everyone. My name is Laurent Bugnon. I'm very happy to welcome you to this session. Before we start, I have to apologize. I'm sick, so I might cough a little bit during the session. I'm trying to keep it low as I can, but I was so sick that 3 days ago I almost canceled, and now I feel better. So let's cross fingers. I work for Identity Mind. We are a firm specialist in user experience, and we work especially often with Microsoft technologies such as Windows Phone, Windows 8, Silverlight and WPF for more classic type of applications, Xbox, and etc. So we are very, we are breathing and living and swallowing and everything you want, the Microsoft design language. Okay, this is something that took the technical world a little bit by surprise, because Microsoft is not really known, or was not really known, for strong, acute design sense. But things change, and now we have Microsoft actually spearheading some very important design efforts. It's interesting to see that this design language has swept all of Microsoft, not just the XAML-based applications, Windows Phone and Windows 8, but also the web properties of Microsoft are adopting Metro. Well, Microsoft design language, we'll come back to that. So this is really an effort which is quite strong at Microsoft, and which goes really designers from many divisions set together and developed this new design style. So, like my tongue already slipped once, it might slip a few more times. What's in the name, right? So we used to talk about Metro, and we were talking about Metro applications for Windows RT, about the Metro design language, Metro design principles. All that is now the past. Officially, we don't talk about Metro anymore. I won't go into the legal stories around that. But mostly, these are the new names. So Windows Store applications for the applications running on Windows 8 slates. Microsoft design language, or design style language, if you like to overemphasize. And the Microsoft design principles. This is really what you should use. Now, privately, I often talk about Metro because I think it's just a cool name. Officially, I don't anymore. More information at this URL. It's a little bit small, but you will get the... Well, actually, here it's not that small. It's really such a huge screen. So there is a URL here. You will get the slide, so you can find more information about the official guidelines regarding names, in case you're interested. So the principles, there are five design principles governing the Microsoft design language. The first one is pride in craftsmanship. And what it means is that you should be proud of what you're doing. Okay? You create great apps. So be proud and don't hesitate to go the extra mile to make your application even more beautiful, even more user experience friendly. Okay? Don't hesitate to spend quite a lot of time on making your apps beautiful. This is what differentiates your app from the rest. Okay? This is a competitive world. We have... I'm not sure what is the latest number, but probably around 150,000 applications in the Windows Phone Store. We have also multiple tens of thousands applications in the Windows 8 Store. So it's competitive, and if you want to differentiate yourself, you have to have a beautiful application. Okay. The second principle is fast and fluid. So animations, motion is very important in the Microsoft design language. We'll see, we'll talk more about that in a moment. And your application should be fast and fluid. They should respond to touch as soon as possible. Otherwise, the user has the feeling that something is wrong. And they should move, scroll, pan as fluidly as possible. And that's not always easy, okay? Especially if you work with Windows 8 slates, Windows RT slates, like the Surface or the Samsung slates, etc., you will find that sometimes it doesn't scroll as fluidly as you would like. So spend a little bit of time on that. It's quite important. It's quite an important part of the user experience. Authentically digital is the third principle, and here we are going to talk more about that with some examples in a moment. It's really about embracing the digitalness of your computer. Okay? It's not what you are showing, your application, it's not a real life thing. It's something which is flat, which is running on a glass screen. There is no texture there, so don't lie to your users about it. Embrace the fact that you are actually drawing with pixels. Do more with less is the fourth principle, meaning that your applications should not try to solve all the problems. Okay? It's not Microsoft Word. It's something else. It's really a new kind of application. They are smaller, they are leaner, and they fulfill one task, but they fulfill it well. Okay? So rather than having a big app which solves multiple problems, have multiple apps which solve one problem, and have those apps collaborate together, which is the fifth principle, win as one. Win as one means collaborate, share. Okay, we'll talk about the contracts a little bit later. So when you share some content from one application to the other, you win as one. You take advantage of the craft of others, which may even be your competitors, by the way, so it's a little bit unconventional, but you can share content to them and let them do what they do best, and you do what you do best. So those are the five principles, and the rest of the presentation, I'm going to lean on that. I'm going to take reference on those principles to show you some examples. So first of all, let's talk about the typography. So I told you, you should be proud of what you do. Okay, you are craftsmen, you are artists, up to a certain extent. We are technicians, but we also do things which should be beautiful. And typography plays a big role. And of course, it plays a very, very big role in the Microsoft Design Language. It makes me especially happy because I'm Swiss. So, of course, Swiss typography is a very important part of the Microsoft Design Language. And in Swiss typography, we have a set of rules. We use grids and alignment. And we are authentically digital in the sense that we don't use serifs. Serifs are those small bars that you see, for example, if you check a Times New Roman font. You will see some small bars at the end of a T, for example. And this is a remnant from the past. Okay, back then, when the letters were made in lead, they needed those small serifs to make the letter a little bit stronger. Nowadays, we are authentically digital. We don't need those anymore. So typically, when we develop for Windows Phone, we use, or Windows 8, by the way, we use sans-serif fonts, such as Helvetica, that's Helvetica here. But actually, nowadays we use a font which derived from Helvetica called Sego, and I'll talk more about that in a second. Here is an example of an ad from the 1950s made with Helvetica. And this is an interesting example because it shows some of the principles of the Microsoft Design Language, even already in the 50s, right? So you have a lot of typography. You don't have icons or images or anything unnecessary except those bars which give an impression of motion. So there is some motion going on even in the static ad. And the strong, bold background, blue, this strong blue color which illustrates the rest. So that's a good example of typography here used in an ad. And when you develop your apps, you will see that some of the principles are used as well. Bauhaus is another strong inspiration for the Microsoft Design Language. It's an architecture and design movement, industrial design, that started in the 1920s, just after the First World War. And here we have also an ad from the 1920s, this time even older, with also a lot of typography, some strong typography, no excessive decoration. So you really have just a minimum, the bare minimum needed to go and visit this exposition. Okay. Here is another example. The typography in the center and sans serif fonts, strong colors, etc. Metro used to be named Metro because it is inspired from the transportation signage quite strongly. And when you go in an airport and you're running because you're late, you don't want to spend time looking for directions. So you need to have the information instantly. And this is why all the airports and all the train stations in the world use the same design language. So this is a design language that is instantly known, that is very familiar to people. Okay? So when you check your phone, same thing applies. You want to find your information as fast as possible. You don't want to spend unnecessary time looking for information because, I don't know, maybe you're walking on the street and you don't want to bang into somebody, right? Also, the icons, for example, are very stylized. They are very simple, simplified, and usually white on the dark background. Here are a few other examples. Even in Asia, it works. And here we see another thing which is quite interesting is the color coding. So color is strong and bold and conveying some information. Or also in the US, same things apply. And here you have also color coding for the metro lines, in that case, the subway lines. So the fonts that we use have been developed especially by Microsoft for the digital age. And that's the Sego family font. Sego comes in multiple variations. For example, for Windows 8, we use Sego UI, which is especially refined for the computer screen. And you have to think that now we are in an age which is very mobile. People take their slate outside. They take their laptop outside in the park to work, in bright sun. Okay? They take their phones out. So test the readability of your application. You can play with quite a lot of things. You can play with the font size. You can play with the font weight. For example, bold, light, semi-bold, semi-light. Okay? You can also play with colors, contrast. So check that your applications are readable. If you go out in the bright sun, you should be still able to use your app. For the phone, we are using a variation of the Sego font family, which is called Sego WP for Windows Phone. And this is a font where they made some changes to make it even more readable on very small screens, such as a phone screen. Here we also have bold, semi-light, and light. And there is also a black variant, which you can use if you want to really emphasize something, a title, etc. In terms of font size, try to be rational. Try not to have too many font sizes on one screen, because it confuses the user. The whole Windows 8 experience is developed with this 4-point size. So for titles, we use 42 points. For labels, we use 9 points, and then there are 11 and 20 points in between for different texts or buttons, etc. So that's the Windows 8 experience. But generally speaking, for your apps, try to follow the guideline of not using too many font size in one screen. Okay? It is only confusing your users. Instead, if you want to really make something, give some emphasis to something, you can use maybe a special color or maybe use semi-bold, for example, to make it a little bit more obvious. Now I'm showing some apps which use quite a lot of text, and those are all Twitter apps. Okay, so this one is Metro Tweet, and this one is interesting because it takes a very classic approach to Twitter. So you have columns, and of course there is quite a lot of text, right? Twitter is all about text. There are sometimes some images as well. But here we see that they really chose a very classic approach with the picture, the text next to it, those columns, and clickable areas are light blue, so they are not very strongly emphasized, really. The text, also the differences in the font size is not exaggerated. I mean, the name is not much bigger than the rest, for example, than the rest of the text. So they don't really emphasize too much of the content. So this is one take on a text-heavy application, I would say. Now, this one is Rowy, and here we have something completely different. First of all, the colors that they chose, this green, is quite strongly different. Green on the black background, it's quite special. Also, the text, they have many more differences in the size of the text. They do use icons quite a lot. Like, for example, on the top left here, you can see that they have those, home tab and the reply tab, etc., which uses some simplified icons, Microsoft-style icons, if you want. So this is another approach, but my favorite is really this one. This one is Twitro. So another Twitter application. And here, they use typography really quite a lot. So you could say that they really go quite strongly with the Microsoft design principles. A lot of differentiation is done with font size. Sorry, there is a little bit of color, but really not too much. And I find it a very interesting take on Twitter, personally. Now, if you want to change to mentions, etc., you have to start scrolling horizontally. So this is a choice that they made. They have less content on the screen than MetroTweet, for example. But this application is, aesthetically, it's quite pleasing, I find. Now, let's talk about motion. So I told you that one principle is fast and fluid, right? Motion and animation is very important. And it's especially important when you want to suggest something to your users. Like, let me give you an example. If you take a Windows phone, which is locked, okay, you switch it on, there is a lock screen, and then you try tapping on the home menu, on the start button. What will happen is that your screen is going to bump up just a little bit. And this is an animation which is showing to the user that he's expected to actually swipe up. Okay, so just with this simple animation, you are teaching your user what is expected from them. Okay, another thing which is important with motion is to react immediately. Like, for example, if you have a panorama view, as soon as the user touches the screen is going to move a little bit, and it's going to teach the user that he can scroll left and right, or up and down, or both. Okay, so motion is very important. There is a whole branch of design called motion design. Here, it's interesting because even though it's motion design, it's actually a static ad, but still, everything is moving here. So you can bring motion to paper. Why not? In our case, we are blessed because we are in a digital age where we can actually have animations and all kinds of accelerations. By the way, it is something that is quite time costly to create nice animations. And especially if you want to accelerate them nicely in Expression Blend, for example, where you have this kind of support, it can take quite a lot of time until you get it right. But it's really worth it because, as I said, it's going to help your users understanding what's happening. Okay, so I'm going to show you two examples of motion design. The first one is a movie credit, which was made by Saul Bass. Saul Bass was a designer in the 1930s who worked especially often with Alfred Hitchcock for his movie intros, movie credits. And the other one is one that you will probably recognize. It's something much more modern. So let's try that out. Okay, so the first one is the title sequence of North by Northwest. Can I have sound? Okay. So this one is interesting because, first of all, there is this grid. Okay, the grid, the alignment, is something which is quite strongly used in the Microsoft Design Language or in the Swiss Typography Movement or in Bauhaus. Then you have the text, which moves all the time. Okay, the text never stands still for more than about 2 seconds. And they use typography quite strongly to show who is important and who is not in the movie. Or here, for example, to suggest those directions with the arrows. And now they switch to an image, and we notice that this grid that was here to really align the text is actually a wall of window. And now something which is really nice is that you have this image which is playing in the background, but you still have text moving in the foreground. Okay? So, of course, you need, if you want to do something like that, you need to make sure that the text is readable. So you need to dim the image down, for example, by setting the opacity to maybe 50% on a black background, something like that. So this one is quite nice because we use those principles in many Windows Phone apps and Windows 8 apps as well. The other I want to show you, that intro from Pulp Fiction, obviously. And here also there is a lot of motion. Okay, everything keeps moving all the time. Not very fast, but there is always this movement going on. And a lot of play with words, a lot of play with the typography. Like, for example, the name of Quentin Tarantino is here half hidden because of the breaking background, which is kind of cool. And then the title, Pulp Fiction, which is really important, emphasized, orange, bright orange, with this kind of font, which gives an impression. Pulp Fiction, the name Pulp Fiction comes from the fact that those magazines were printed on very bad quality paper. So after a while that you are reading it, if you are sweating a little bit, it was turning into pulp. So here we have this kind of effect with the bleeding orange and all that. So they play a lot with typography. But there is really quite a lot of those principles. No real image. Everything is changed into drawing or, you know, some caricatural representation. And always this motion all the time. So if we translate that to Windows Phone, for example, I want to show you here an example. It's the IMDb application. Here we have the same principles in that we have an image in the background. This is a famous panorama control that is, you know, used quite often in Windows Phone. And you see the image is moving. You have the text in the foreground. So if you want to be able to read the text, of course, you need to make sure that the image is dark enough. Okay? So the image is here rather to suggest an atmosphere than really to be there as content. The important part, the content, is really in the foreground and has to be made readable. Also, in terms of font size, we change font size to emphasize here, for example, that you can click on those items. And here, we have the same font size everywhere, but we play with the color to make things more or less important. Sorry, I told you. All right. Okay, so we are in a digital age. And what this means is that you should really embrace that and don't be afraid to tell your users that you are digital. Now, this is an example of something which is not authentically digital, okay? The iBooks app on iPad. And Apple loves that. They love wood and leather texture and basically trying to tell your users, well, even though you think you're using an iPad, you're not really using an iPad, actually you're using something else. So this is not authentically digital. It's exactly the opposite of that. It's called skeuomorphism. And interestingly, there is quite a lot of discussion in the design community around skeuomorphism, and now we see everybody coming away from that. And even Apple, you might have heard that the chief designer was recently let go, and now Johnny Ive took over, and I think that we'll probably see Apple also coming away from skeuomorphism and maybe a little bit more into some authentically digital design. Okay? So that's probably something that you don't want to do on a Windows 8 application. And that would be rather what you aim for, which is something which is really authentically digital. There is just one small compromise made here. There is a small shadow below the books. Okay, the designer thought that it would emphasize the book a little bit. I think personally that it's a good success. It's really nice. It's the only small compromise, but really, The content is king, okay? You have the books in the center. You have no unnecessary information, such as, for example, those shelves, which really don't bring anything of value to the user. And you have the play with the typography, for example, the font color, which changes to signify which tab is selected between the cloud and downloaded. So this one is really a good example of an authentically digital app. Another example, the icons in iOS. The first one on top, for example, is a compass. I dare say that many kids never saw an actual analog compass, so they don't know that it is a compass. They have to learn that, but it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of a play with reality. Or the last one, the camera. A phone camera doesn't really look like that, okay? So it's kind of lying about what it really does. On the other hand, the Windows 8 app are much more flat and caricatural, almost. Yeah. Now, in order, when you create your application bar, you have a lot of buttons already at your disposal and icons. And it's quite interesting because those icons are actually glyphs. So they are actually a character which is drawn in the Sego symbol font. If you want to find all those icons, you go into the common folder. There is a standard styles. So for example, if I go here into a Windows 8 app, into the common folder, I have standard styles here. And by default, everything is disabled. Why do they disable it? It's because like this, it's speeding up the start time of the application. So you have to go and find the correct one. So if you go a little bit further down, you will see a whole bunch here of styles which are disabled. And the style for those application bar is taking the glyph. So you have the glyph here. Okay, I'm going to bump the font size a little bit. And it also takes the name of the button. So this is going to be used as the text below the button. Now, I made a small app to make it easier to find all that. And I will also pass you the source code. So here you have the app with all those buttons. Okay, you see that there are quite a lot. And if you want to just copy the glyph, you can select and say, either copy the style name, if you want to use that directly in your app, or copy the glyph. Now, of course, you need to make sure that you have enabled that particular style into the standard styles XAML resource dictionary. So it's just a small trick when you develop your applications. When you develop your apps, those are very often consumer applications, especially on Windows Phone and Windows 8, sometimes enterprise, but when you, depending, of course, who you target, try to be playful and delightful. Try to entertain your users. Try to make them happy. For example, live tiles are a great way to do that. So this is the screen of my phone, and the first tile on top is Facebook. And it's showing my cover picture. So this is the same picture that I have on my Facebook page, which is cool because it's my kids. It always makes me happy to see my kids on my phone. Sometimes it rotates, and then in the background, I have the latest status update. Okay, so it's kind of cool because it makes me remember that, oh, yeah, okay, I posted that recently. Maybe I didn't post in a while, so maybe it's time to post a new status update. The next one is the My Trips app. Now, this one is fantastic. If you're a traveler, it really saves your life from time to time. It reminds me that, okay, on February 25th, I had a flight. Now it's passed, so it's not really useful anymore, but important information. And then the small green checkbox is what you want to see. It means that your flights are okay, because I have my flights monitored by TripIt Pro. So if I see this green checkbox turning red, then I start to worry. Then it means I need to start the application and call the airline and make sure if they can rebook me on another flight, which happened to me, by the way, the last time I traveled. I had to get a different flight because my flight was delayed and I would have missed my connection and all kind of horror would have occurred, such as sleeping in Chicago one night. Oh my God. The last one is the TV show app, which is also delightful because it shows me that if I go at home tonight, I will have that and this TV show to watch, which is pretty cool. And it also rotates and shows you pictures of your favorite TV show. So lifestyles are a great way to delight your users and to make them feel that, yes, this phone is really mine, this application really speaks to me. So don't hesitate to invest some time into that. Okay, it's a good way to inform your user without them even running the app. It works on Windows 8 as well. For example, those are three apps that we developed. The Nick one is the Nickelodeon application. Now, of course, this one is more for kids, but kids love it because they see their favorite characters. The Encyclopedia Britannica is featuring a different article from time to time, and then they will also show the lifestyle related to that particular article, which is cool because it makes you wonder, what is this animal? If I tap on it, I can go and read about it. Merriam-Webster, they have a word of the day. So here, too, you will see a different word every day, and that's kind of enticing, and it makes you maybe want to start the application. Another example, this is my lock screen on my phone in normal conditions, but when I play some music, it changes to show the artist. In that case, it is no hard metal, heavy metal fan. Iron Maiden, thank you. Okay. So it's cool because I'm listening to the music and then my phone shows me the artist that I'm listening to while I'm listening to it. And that, personally, I love this experience. I find it very, very interesting, very entertaining and delightful. The Nick application was really fun to design because it's really aimed at kids and teenagers. And here we did something which was quite fun. You see on the top right, you have this small tongue of slime, which actually, when you start the application, it's coming down, so there is an animation. And the reason why we did that is because we really wanted the kids to tap it, to play with it, to touch it, and then it will open the top application bar. So we took something which is not very discoverable, okay? The features, the functions of a Windows 8 apps are quite hidden into those application bar, and then we play with a fun element, the slime, to make it more discoverable. And by the way, you need internet to use Nick, but even if you don't have internet, well, you can make things a little bit funny and tell your users, well, okay, sorry, I cannot do anything, but at least it's fun, because it's always fun to see Patrick's underwear. Now, we talked about, you know, pride in craftsmanship, right? Be bold, be beautiful, and we already talked about typography, which is a good way to reach that. Spend time in choosing the right font, choosing the right font size, font weight, and of course the colors. Now in Windows Phone 8, we have quite a lot more accent colors than in Windows Phone 7. So it's good because this is more choice. And you can very easily use that accent color into your app. So by doing that, you personalize the application for the user. You make him feel that, oh yeah, this is actually my phone. Even though I'm using a third-party application made by somebody I don't know, it's still my application because the color that I chose for my phone is visible here. Same thing for Windows 8. You can customize the color of your background, and then you will see this color pretty much everywhere. I did copy the code for you to make it a little bit easier to work. So those are the XAML or HTML code, if you prefer. And same thing for Windows 8. Those are the accent colors with the codes. You will see that some of them come multiple times, like the gray background, for example. So when you design for Windows Phone and for Windows 8, it's absolutely not compulsory to use those colors, but those are colors which have been really chosen carefully for their strong accent. Okay, they are quite bold colors. And if you select some of those, you're going to give a feeling of familiarity to your users. They are going to feel at home immediately when they start using the phone. Now, space is also very important when you design. And I told you already that the Microsoft Design Language is strongly inspired from the Swiss typography and from Bauhaus. In those two design families, alignments and grids are quite important. So typically, designers place elements on a grid. In Windows 8, the grid uses a unit of 20 by 20 pixels. So everything is made in multiples of 20 pixels. For example, we place the top of the content at 7 units, which is 140 pixels. And we align the baseline of the title at 100 pixels, 5 units. Now, when you create a new Windows 8 application using the template in Visual Studio, you will get pages which are already aligned like that, so you don't need to worry about it too much. But you need to think about it when you create a page from scratch, which you might want to do sometimes. On the left-hand side, we put 6 units, 120 pixels, when we are in landscape mode. When we go into portrait, we change that to 5 units, just to make things a little bit tighter, because in portrait, everything is narrow, so you need a little bit less space if you want to see more things on the screen. I'm going to show you in just a second how to do that. Here, too, we have an example with list, where we start with the content region at 7 units. And you can have dense lists, where you have just 1 unit between the items, so 20 pixels between the items, or loose lists, where you have less information on the screen. The user has to start scrolling faster. But on the other hand, you improve the readability of your application. So here, for example, we have 40 pixels between each item in the list. Now, this is an example of an app that I made, which is already available in the Windows Store. It's a URL shortener. And here I followed those guidelines. So we have the back button, which is in the top left. We have the title with font size 42 points, which is baselined at 100 pixels. And then after that, the content starts at 140 pixels. On the left-hand side, I have 120 pixels. Now, at the bottom, you will see those application bar buttons, and you see that they are quite loosely spaced because I have enough space there. I can really show the title, and I can space them evenly. And by the way, we put them on the side because when we use the slate with the thumbs in our two hands, we can tap the buttons with the thumbs. Okay, so that's the reason why we put them left and right. Now, if I rotate my slate in portrait mode, then I'm going to tighten everything a little bit on the left-hand side to have more information on the screen. The button and the title move a little bit, and then I have only 100 pixels padding on the left-hand side here. For the button, same thing. I tightened everything. I made things a little bit narrower, because I have less space on my screen, and I removed the text. So here I chose, in portrait mode, which is not really a scenario that is used very often with Windows RT. The main use case for Windows RT is horizontal, is landscape. But sometimes people rotate, and then you want to handle that case. And here, for example, by removing the text, I have a little bit more buttons on my screen. When you use Windows Phone, there is a possibility to show a grid with Windows Phone 8 with a new template. And this grid can be enabled in the XAML, in your mainpage.xaml, by uncommenting the last line, this image source equals blah, blah, blah. Now, of course, when you go to production, you want to remove that line of XAML, and you probably also want to remove the image from your application. But this is quite useful because it helps you to align your elements, especially in Expression Blend. So let me show you how you do the snap view and the portrait view in Expression Blend. Blend is very well equipped to help you with that. So here I have an application. And this application is just going to show, I can run it, is just going to show a list of friends. And I have just hard-coded the data. So here we go. We have just a list of people here. And I didn't really spend too much time on that. But what I want to show you is that if you go into Expression Blend, this is the same application in Blend. I am using design time data so I can see my friends here in Blend to do the design. I'm going to show tomorrow in my session at 1 p.m. how to do that concretely. And now I want to see how my application looks like when I rotate the screen in Blend. Okay? So the first thing that you need to know is that when you create a new project directly into Visual Studio, for example, if I go and select here Windows Store Blank App, you are actually not going to have everything you need to handle those states, such as Portrait, Snapped, and Field. So you need to do something. I'm going to show you what you need to do. And it's kind of silly. I don't understand really why they don't force the user to use the page which is making their life easier. It's a choice that they made. So what you want to do here, this main page is just a standard normal page. And it's not going to help you. You see, the tag says page and nothing else. So here you want to get rid of that, delete. And then instead, I'm going to add a new item. And I'm going to select not a blank page, which is really the basic page with nothing around, but I'm going to choose a basic page. Not blank, but basic. And I'm going to name that main page. Now, Visual Studio is asking me if I am okay if they add some helper files into the common folder. I'm going to say yes. Actually, I absolutely want those files because they are helping me to build. And you see that the things that they add, notably, they add a class called Layout Aware Page. And this is going to be your base page, your base class for all your pages into your application. And here, the main page, you see they are using that, Layout Aware Page, instead of the bare page that we had before. Now, by doing that, you add a few things here. And by the way, all the developers I know take this Layout Aware Page, they extend it with some functions of their own, and typically they put that into an assembly, a helpers.dll that they reuse in all their Windows 8 applications. It's kind of hard to understand why this class, which is so useful, is not part of the SDK, not part of a DLL somewhere. It's actually added as a file. I don't have the answer to that, but it's just an interesting fact. Okay, so now that I have this, this is going to help me in Expression Blend by supporting the state. So here I go to the states tab, to the device tab, and here I can simulate different states for my app. For example, this is how my app looks like in landscape, but now I can put it in portrait. And now in portrait, it's kind of weird because here it doesn't resize, but in portrait, you see it's going to cut here. And then notice that the title here moved a little bit. So this is the layout aware page is doing that for you. You don't have to worry about that. So here, this is landscape, this is portrait. Everything moved a little bit. So now I want to align my content here with the title, which means I'm going to take here this grid view. I'm going to enable state recording, which means that what I'm doing now is only for the portrait state. And then I'm going to choose here the padding. I don't want to change the margin, because if I change the margin, then I'm going to have a blank space when I scroll, okay? You want to change the padding, and then you set the padding to 100 pixels, which are those 5 units that I mentioned before. So now when I'm in landscape, I have 120 pixels. When I'm in portrait, I have 100 pixels. Now what about the snapped view? Snapped view is what you have. For example, let's start whatever, IE. Snapped view is a state that you have when you take your application and you move it here. You make it small. Okay. So the snap view is also a state. So I can switch to that state here in Blend. And now in SnapView, typically what's going to happen is that the title is going to be much smaller, and then the scrolling mode is going to be vertical instead of horizontal, like when you have really the landscape. So the best way to handle that is by hiding this grid view. I'm going to make sure that I enable the state recording. I'm going to set the grid view to collapsed. And then instead, I'm going to use a list view, which is a vertical scrolling list control. Set it to visible. And notice that I designed a different data template for that control, something which is more suited for vertical scrolling. Now, handling that, handling all those states means quite a lot of work, obviously. Okay, but it's really worth it. You're bringing quite a lot of value to your users. And think that you can stop the user from turning his slate. Okay, you can choose not to support the portrait mode, but you cannot avoid the snapped mode. So you have to spend a little bit of time on snap view and make them nice and usable. Typically, for snap view, we show a little bit less information than for the standard view, but we make it usable anyway. And here, if I run my application, this is a normal mode. I'm not going to rotate my slate because otherwise I will lose the video, but believe me, it's working. And then if I take this and put it here, now I have a different view with a different data template, which is more suited for vertical scrolling. All right. So, in the Microsoft Design Language, content is king. You want to put content in the center of your app, and you want to hide any unnecessary information. So, for example, this is the start menu of Windows 8. And here we see that everything which is not absolutely necessary to the user, in that case, the tile information, is hidden. Okay? If you want to show some function buttons, you have to swipe. For example, from the bottom to show the application bar. There are two application bars in Windows 8, one on top, one on the bottom, and you can handle one or both into your application. You can also swipe from the side and show the charms. Okay, so additional feature, additional information, but you have to do something. You have to swipe. Normally, this information is hidden. In Zune, which is the ancestor of the Microsoft Design Language, we have the same principle applicable here. We have content really in the center. In that case, the history, the music. Or here, same thing. We have really the content here is those albums. And then we have a lot of typography. We have just a few icons, which are very simple and clean. Just a touch of color here and there to underline some, to give a kind of a touch of design into the application. Another example. So the content is really in the center in every Microsoft Design application. Another example, the Xbox is also using the Microsoft Design Language now in the new dashboard. And here, too, we have those big areas which are clickable. They need to be big because you can use that with the Kinect, so you need to make them big enough. By the way, think about it when you design for touch. Make everything big enough for fat fingers. Or here, this is a Windows 8 video application. Well, you cannot be more bare than that. There is absolutely nothing else than the movie playing. The content is absolutely at the center. Now, if you tap the screen, then you will see something, and then you can use that to play or pause or to see where you are into the application. Same thing for the Kindle application on Windows 8. You're reading a book. This is the content. Now, if you tap the screen, you will start seeing some information. Okay? This is an example of an app that we designed for Windows Phone. It's the food spotting application. Here the content is information about food, pictures about food, and this is really what you want to put in the center. And by the way, we play here a little bit with the background picture to give kind of a different accent to the application. So by doing this, you can easily change the theme of your app just by changing a simple picture. Now, because content is king, and because a lot of functionality is hidden somewhere, not very far, it's just a swipe away, but it's still hidden, it puts you into a difficult situation sometimes when you talk to clients. Because for many clients, search is very important. Okay? You would say that search is a major entry point into their app. Think of a retailer, for example, a retail application. Search is, I mean, Amazon, for example, or any other. Search is their lifeblood. Okay? Now, Microsoft would rather tell you that search should be done by the charm. So you have to swipe, you have to tap on search, and then you have a common search for the whole Windows 8. But in many cases, we don't really do that. So normally, what is prescribed is really show the charms, tap on search, and then this will put you into a search mode. You can also search, you can also launch an application from the search pane. Those are applications which have registered themselves with Windows 8 as being searchable. Okay, we'll talk about the contracts in just a minute. And if you are already into your application and you show the search charm, it's going to search your app only. Okay? But still, it's not very discoverable. So sometimes we make compromise, and for example, here in Merriam-Webster, we have the search button in the top right. Now, we had to fight for that button with Microsoft, but we still did it. Okay? In some cases, we even go one step further, and we even show a search field. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't support the Windows 8 search. In the contrary, we do support it. We want to support it because it's an important entry point into your app. But we have something else. We have compromised a little bit. We don't have just content on the screen. We also have a function, and that's the search button. Okay? And this is what happens when you tap on that button. We just open the search tab and the search flyout, and then we allow the user to search from there. Now, in some cases, you might even have a separate advanced search page into your app if you have some additional criteria, etc. Now, I told you about this principle called Win as One, where basically we are collaborating with other apps. Windows 8 is great for collaboration because you have this snapped view. Snap view allows you, it's really a big differentiator from for example, an iPad. It allows you to run two applications at the same time on the screen and to interact with one or the other at the same time. So here, for example, I have USA Today on the left. I have the video application running on the right. And I can switch from one to the other. Now, it's not really collaboration here because those apps are not even talking to each other. They are not doing anything, but they are running at the same time, so it's kind of cool. Now, we can go one step further. And for example, this is the URL shortener application that I was telling you about. And if you select one of those URL, this is the history view where you can see all the URLs that you have shortened in the past. You can select the context menu. And then if you tap on view, I'm going to automatically launch this URI in Internet Explorer. But because I'm open in Snap View, Windows 8 is clever and is going to start Internet Explorer in the field space. Okay? That happens automatically. You don't have to do anything for that. You just call the launcher and you launch the URI. Now, that's pretty cool because it's really very dynamic. It allows me to switch from one URI to the other without losing the context of my snapped application. And this is for free, so it's really worth doing. Now, in addition to that, you can go even further and you can support the share contract. Share contract means you have to do something in your app. For example, if I am in Internet Explorer, and then I open the charms, and then I select the share button, what's happening is that Windows 8 is proposing me a list of applications which registered themselves as supporting content of type URI. Notice that on top of those apps, I have my URL shortener. Of course, a URL shortening application wants to support content of type URI. It's like my lifeblood. Okay. Now, if you tap that, it's going to start the application, but in a special mode, in a flyout. So again, you don't lose the context of your main app. And then the URI is passed to my app, which knows what to do with that. In that case, it's going to shorten it. Okay. So this is an example of the share contract. In the opposite direction, your application can also be a share source. Before it was a share target, now it's a share source, where if I select share, I'm going to have all the applications which support content, in that case of type text. And then if I click on MetroTweet, for example, it's going to start the MetroTweet application with the text that I pass to this app, in that case, long URI, was shortened to short URI, and then the user can do whatever he wants with this content. So that's pretty cool. And in order to do a share contract, I'm going to show you what you need to do in Visual Studio. So here I have an application which is doing just that. It's going to register itself as able to be the target for share content of type URI or text. Now, the first thing that you need to do is declare that to Windows 8. And this happens in the app manifest. If you go under declaration, this is where you can select all your contracts. For example, you have here at the bottom search. So you remember when I did when I showed you the search slide, there was a list of applications here appearing, right? Those are the applications which support the search contract. Note that you cannot influence which applications are going to appear and in which order. Okay? The applications that are used a lot by the user will be on top. And also, the user can choose to pin some applications into those panes. So the applications that he uses a lot. So really, your only weapon here is to be compelling and to make your app interesting enough that the user wants to pin it or to use it often enough. Then after that, the applications are sorted alphabetically. Now for the share contract, so here I added share target, and I'm selecting here two data formats, text and URI. You could also choose to receive images, for example, or videos or whatever media content you want. But here, I just select text and URI. Then, in app.xaml.cs, I'm overriding this method, onShareTarget_activated. This override is going to be called by the system when the user taps on your application in the share flyout. Now, I modified the app.xaml.cs a little bit. I created here this method called initializeApp. In the normal case, when you enter your application with a normal launch mechanism, I'm going to navigate to the main page. And I'm just going to pass the arguments here in case something was passed to my application. And then here, I'm going to navigate to that particular page type. In that case, the main page. Now, in the case of the share, I'm going to use a different page type. I'm going to use a share page. Why am I not selecting the main page here? It's because, remember, it opened in a flyout, so I have a little bit less width for my application. It's kind of a different mode, and maybe also the functionality is different. Personally, I prefer to have a separate page. In that case, I call that the share page for the share target operation. And then you want to pass the share operation here to the page, because this is where the content is contained. Now, inside the page, in onNavigated2, I will retrieve this share operation parameter. And then I'm going here to start a new task. The reason why I'm doing that is that you want the experience to be as fluid as possible. Again, fast and fluid, right? And when the flyout opens, the time that you take to decode the content, which can be a URI or text or whatever, can take a little bit of time, and it might be a little bit just jerky when you open that. So the recommended scenario is to start a task, it's quite easy, which will automatically spin a background thread. You will do your decoding, and then you will pass the result back to the main thread. So now I'm on my background thread here. I'm going to check if I have a URI or text, and then I'm going to retrieve using get URI async, get text async. Those operations are asynchronous. If I don't have an error, I'm going to go back to the main thread using dispatcher.run async. So I was running the decoding operation on the background thread. I want to pass that back to the main thread. And then I'm simply going to show the content here in a status bar. Now, in order to test that, if I just press F5 to debug my application, the application is going to start. So it's not what you want. What you want is your application to start in a mode where it can be selected to share. Okay? If you want to do that, you have to go into the project properties. And then here you select on the debug, you select do not launch, but debug my code when it starts. Now what this does is that if I press F5, my application is going to start, but it's going to start in a special mode where I don't have any UI. Now I can go into a page, for example, Internet Explorer, and then if I select share, notice that the first one to appear here is my share contract demo, the application that I just started. I can tap it, and then it's going to jump into the share target activated. And what's going to happen is that the URI that was given to me by Internet Explorer is decoded, and then I can show it. In that case, it was content of type URI. Now, if I have something which I select on the screen, for example, let's go, this is not what I wanted to do. Let's go and select here some text. Now, in that particular case, the text that I'm going to receive is not an actual URI. So up to me in my application to handle this case. Okay, I cannot build a URI with that particular text. But I can receive it anyway, so I can go here to share. Notice that the applications that are shown are different, because those are the applications registered in Windows 8 to be able to handle pure text and not URI like before. But if I tap on my share contract demo, I will see that the text has been received. Okay, it's not a URI, but I'm still able to do something with that particular text. The UI that you get with the title, the back button, and the icon is fixed by Windows 8. You cannot change that. This is going to automatically appear. Of course, the icon, you want to have a better icon. By the way, if you keep the standard, well, the default icons that are created when you do file new project, your application is going to fail certification. They now have an automated test, which is testing that you have your own custom icons and not the default ones. Okay? All right. So if you are looking for inspiration, there is a nice place where you can go. Here we go. It's this web page. And again, you'll get the slide, so you will get the URI. It's a web page made by Microsoft where you will see a lot of IDs for different content type. Like, for example, if you make a game, well, here are a few tips and guidelines and IDs. If you make an entertainment application, here are a few guidelines and IDs. Okay, so you have quite a lot of content here. Look for content on MSDN. They always push new design content, new project templates, new IDs for applications. So it's really a good place to start. And of course, check the applications, the already existing applications. Some of them are actually pretty good. So make sure that you find inspiration there. and that you learn from that. Okay, that's all I have. I hope that it was informative and that you have quite a lot of new ideas to design your applications for Windows Phone, for Windows 8, or maybe even for WPF. Why not? A good example is the Microsoft Office 2013, where they redesigned the application quite fundamentally to give it really this flat, authentically digital state, even though it is actually a very classic Office application, right? So those principles are also good for classic Windows apps. If you have some questions, I'm happy to take them. I think I have another 10 minutes, probably, or I'm going to be around today, also at the Ask the Expert session later. And if you're interested to know how you can facilitate your design work in Expression Blend, please visit my session tomorrow at 1 p.m., where I'm going to show you how to share code between Windows 8 and Windows Phone, and also how to use Expression Blend in order to get an optimized design experience. I want to thank you very much for your attention. If you have questions, I'm going to take them now. And for those of you who want to go to the next session, please do so and have a very good session. Thank you.